kickoff live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown, Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Good morning, everybody. I'm happy to be back from vacation. I have successfully summited and de-summited Mount Washington and the presidential traverse up in New Hampshire without falling to my doom, which I'm quite excited about, and I'm even happier to be back. And we are rolling now through training camp and the regular season on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Hope everyone's doing well. Obviously, the news over the weekend that I missed, and I found out when I got off the mound and actually got reconnected to the world and society, was the suspension of Will Hill for his NFL's substance abuse policy. Obviously, a hit for the Giants secondary, and a big hit for Will Hill. And now, you know, he might be hard pressed to make this team. We're still trying to go through our position series here, and we have three more days to do it. So today we're going to go defensive line. And the question I pose, but we can take this any way you guys want, is how do you see the Giants' depth chart shaping up on the defensive line? And I think you got to take this two positions, defensive end and defensive tackle. You figure they're going to keep around 8 total from the two positions, maybe 9. 9's probably more probable. So at defensive tackle, let's start first. I think some of the guys are pretty easy to figure out. They are going to keep Jonathan Hankins. They are going to keep Linval Joseph. And they are going to keep Colin Jenkins. So that's 3. Now, how are they going to fill out that defensive tackle spot? Is it going to be a guy like Sean Rogers? Maybe. Not sure. Is it going to be a guy like Marcus Kuhn, who they liked last year as a young player? I think that is a distinct possibility. I really do. Or are they going to keep a guy like Sean Rogers, who's a veteran and can stuff the run? Mike Patterson, who they brought in. I think they're going to keep 4, maybe 5 defensive tackles. And if I had to guess, it's going to be Jenkins, Joseph, Hankins, Kuhn, and Patterson will be your 5. And one of those 5 will be inactive on game days. Then you go to the defensive end position. And it's similarly full, and the Giants will have a lot of choices here. Obviously, Justin Tuck. Obviously, Jason Pierre-Paul, Matthias Kiwanuka, and Demontre Moore are all going to be kept. Moore's a third-round pick. He's not going anywhere. So here's the question. Can you keep 10 total defensive tackles and defensive ends? I think you could probably get away with it. But then you can still keep only 2 out of the 3 of Adrian Tracy, who I really think is going to make this team, considering how much the Giants like him in pass-rushing situations. Then you have Justin Tratow, who was going to make the team last year until he hurt his ankle, and Adewale Ojomo, who was so effective in the preseason last year. So I think it's interesting when you try to figure out which one of these guys are not going to make the team and how many defensive linemen are the Giants going to keep on the active roster. You figure 9 or 10, and that's where they're going to land. 4 or 5 defensive tackles, and then 4 or 5 defensive ends, depending on who performs. And you can go with 10 if you want. The Giants, I'm guessing, will probably keep 1 less running back than most teams, but they are going to have 3 quarterbacks this year, more than likely, with one of the veterans and Ryan Nassib all being on the active roster. You figure they're going to keep 5 wide receivers. They're going to keep enough offensive linemen. So you're probably going to have either 7, you probably have 8 on the active roster, 7 active on game day is my bet. Probably have 8 or 9 DBs. I'm guessing you're only going to have 4 or 5 linebackers, depending on how many you keep. So that should open it up for a lot of defensive linemen. And, you know, Perryfield likes to rotate. So if you're going to keep a lot of people at a position, it's probably going to be on the defensive line. But it's going to be a great battle. And these aren't bad players. You're going to see Adrian Tracy battle with Tratown Ojomo. You're going to see Patterson battle with a guy like Sean Rogers, with guys like Marcus Kuhn, a younger fella. That's going to be fun. I look forward to that. And training camp, you can see a little bit with the defensive linemen, but not a ton. Because you're not going out there trying to kill your teammates. But that's when the preseason games become very important, and you really start getting into it. 201-939-4513. What do you think the Giants are going to do on the defensive line in terms of their depth chart? How many players are going to keep? Who are they going to keep? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's start with Jay in Irvington. Jay, it's good to talk to you. What's up, pal?
Smells, how you been, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. I was calling about the defensive line. I think we're going to definitely keep 10 because of our questions out in the secondary. I think we're going to have to get at the quarterback, definitely. Mm-hmm. So with keeping 10 defensive linemen, it helps us get to the quarterback a little better. I don't think Tratau will make it because Ojomo is going to come back from the first year when we saw him in preseason looking good, and he's going to have a great year. And I think with Jason Pierre-Paul out, it's going to give him more of an opportunity to show what he can do. Sean Rogers is going to be great for us. I think we're going to keep him. Hankins is going to be good. I don't know about Kuhn. I didn't really like Kuhn last year. I mean, they said he played good. I mean, he looked okay. He didn't look bad, but I don't think he looked that good. But I think with that being said, I don't know if he's going to be able to make it with all the talent that we got at defensive tackle.
Well, I can tell you, the coaching staff loved what Marcus Kuhn did for them last year. They think he's still getting better. They think he's a hard worker. And I think they'd be hesitant to let him go because of the promise. Remember, he doesn't have a ton of experience either. So they think he still has a lot of room for improvement. I can tell you he's put on 50, you know, just from looking at him, 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason. He's working his rear end off to get bigger. My gut feeling tells me Kuhn's going to be on this roster. Of course, his health is going to dictate a lot of that based on how good his knee is. But I think if he's healthy, I think he's on the team.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, I definitely think we're going to keep 10. And hopefully our secondary holds up enough. I think finally this is going to be Thomas' time to come and show that he's back from that injury. They usually say it takes like a year and a half, a couple years to recover from that. It's been like 2 for him, yeah. Almost 3, so he should be good. I think he's going to be good this year as well.
All right, Jay, I appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, man, take it easy.
Hey, be good. And look, those knee injuries are tough. And for a guy trying to get over it like Marcus Kuhn, for other guys trying to get over some of these injuries, it can be tough. Remember, Sean Rogers had a pretty serious medical condition that held him out last year, too. And Mike Patterson hasn't played football, really, in a couple years. He had to have brain surgery, a non-football-related thing. So let's see how those guys come back from those non-football injuries to see how effective they are. And if they can stay healthy. You know, we talk about all this analysis, who's better at this, who's better at that, who you want on the team. Let's be honest, health's going to have a lot to do with that. And Lord knows you can't predict health. You really can't. 201-939-4513. Brian is in St. Louis, Missouri. Brian, what's up?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm excited this year to see that defensive line and how it plays out. I mean, there's so much talent there, and I don't see why they wouldn't keep 10 defensive linemen this year. I'm excited to see Kuhn come back. Last caller said he wasn't too big on him. I love watching the guy play. For his experience level and the way he played, the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah, and he's a hard worker, man. He puts the work in. He's trying to get better. And those are the guys that you want on your team to try to rub off on the other guys in that locker room.
It is. It's going to be exciting to see how this plays out. And another comment I wanted to make was the running back situation.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what David Wilson does. I know there's a lot of people who are big on him, a lot of people who don't want him, you know, to be the starter. Things that I read about him, there's a lot of people out there who were down on him, saying that he had a fumble problem last year. He fumbled the one time. I didn't see a huge problem. Maybe it might have been more in camp or in practice, but after that one time, when he got back to play again, he held on that ball, and he played like his career depended on it.
Yes, I would not.
I can't wait to see it.
I would not consider David Wilson to have a fumbling problem either. The only thing that's disconcerting is he'd have that sort of issue in college as well. You hope it doesn't carry over. But to me, and this is saying a lot considering Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix are on this team, David Wilson will be the Giants' most explosive player this year. And even if he doesn't get 20 carries a game, he only gets 15, he will be a difference maker in a couple games this year and will be the reason the Giants win a couple of football games they might not otherwise win.
Well, it's great to have a home run hitter type guy on the team, you know, where
yeah. At
the end of the ball, he can go 5 yards or he can go the whole field, and it's great to see.
You haven't really had that. I mean, you know, Bradshaw could do it from time to time, but you really haven't had that since Tiki, let's be honest.
Right. All right, man, you have a great morning.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's stay on the line and say hello to Chase out in Long Island. Chase, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, it's Shakes from Baltimore, man.
Shakes, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on?
It's all right, Shakes. We're training some new call screeners. They're getting into it. It's all good. No worries, my friend.
Okay. No problem.
How
no
are
problem.
You, pal?
The question was what?
How do you think the Giants' depth chart on the defensive line is going to filter out? How many do you think they're going to keep? And who do you think is going to be the last couple guys in the roster and who's not going to make it?
Okay.
It's not easy. It's tough.
It's not. I'll say maybe 5 defensive ends, 6 defensive tackles. If we can mount that, because defensive tackles is very deep. I like every defensive tackle we have. Even Coon. I'm not big on Coon, but I even like him. So defensive tackles is very deep. I think it's going to be 6. I got Joseph.
Hankins.
Colin Jenkins. Yeah, right. I got Jenkins.
Hankins.
I got Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Patterson and Hankins.
That's 4, okay. Do you have
and
a 5th at defensive tackle?
I don't want Rodgers to go nowhere. I love Rodgers. Rodgers need to stay, and I don't know between Coon and Austin. They got to battle it out.
You know what the funny thing is here, and based on what you've said and what a couple of the callers have said, Shakes, no one really has much hope for Marvin Austin to make this football team, and that's pretty telling considering he's a second-round draft pick just 3 years ago.
I know, and I was so high on him coming out of North Carolina. But the first year, he was hurt, and then he hasn't really done much since. So I don't know. He got to show something because he did have a lot of potential coming out of college. Even though he was suspended the last year, but he had a ton of potential to speed as a defensive tackle. As a big man to have that type of speed, that's very dangerous. And if he can put it all together, he can be a very good player.
Well, he better do it this offseason because this is going to be a tough numbers game, and she better show it. He better stay healthy because if Marvin Austin's not on the field practicing every day, he doesn't have a shot. So he better stay healthy. He has the physical ability. But think of it this way, Shakes. Remember, he missed pretty much his entire last year with North Carolina. He was hurt his first year in the NFL. Last year, he barely played. So we're going on almost 3 or 4 calendar years here. And this guy has played in how many football games? Like 4? It's pretty tough to keep your skills up when you're not playing.
Yep. And you know what's funny about it is that we held on to him that long, you know, considering he ain't done nothing. Look what Aaron Curry did in Seattle. I mean, his first year, he was a rookie. And then the second year, it was kind of a dud for him. And then the third year, he wasn't healthy.
Right.
So this is his 4th year coming up. And already he's been on 3 teams. Austin has been on the same team, and he has done nothing.
Hey, look, remember, the Giants do not give up on draft picks. They will give their guys almost too many chances, I think,
every time. Yeah, every chance.
So,
yep.
But I think there's just too much talent, though, on the defensive line this year, Shakes. I think this is a make-or-break year for Austin. They can't be carrying any dead weight at that position. If he can play, he'll make the team, but he's got to prove it. His scholarship is up, let me put it that way, and he's going to have to make this team and earn his spot.
Because that's hard. Between him, Coon, and Rodgers,
yeah.
I like Yeah, that's pretty tough, man. So I wish you luck, Austin, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, Shakes, anytime, man. Appreciate it. Good man. Good to hear from Shakes. Saying, oh, I'm back in the groove, back in the Giants groove here. Training camp just 3 days away. Let's do this. 201-939-4513. Stick on our phones. Let's go to Roy in New York City. Roy, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John, how you been?
Doing all right, Roy. What's up, pal?
Not too much. I am I'm interested in the topic, and I think that I agree with the Austin talk. I think he's in serious peril. Ramsey's Barden, and will he put himself squarely on the hot seat with his little problem? So,
well, Roy, let me tell you.
I would have said Tyler Sash is in big trouble, but I'm not so sure anymore with Will Hill's situation.
Well, you know what? Tyler Sash might still be in big trouble because you figure they're going to keep Cooper Taylor because they're going to want to at least give him a year to try to figure out the NFL, right? They really
right.
like Ryan Mundy coming over from Pittsburgh. Safeties coach Dave Merritt raved about him to me during the offseason program. And then you have your two starters, Roll and Stevie Brown. So are you really going to keep five safeties? I'm not sure if you are. I think Sash and Will Hill both have to show that they deserve to be on this team. They're not going to be given anything.
I think the answer to that last question is how many wide receivers they keep. Because if they keep six wide receivers, you know, Barden is probably okay, and that probably means they're not going to keep five safeties. A lot of it's going to come down to special teams as well. That's why I think Bosworth is in pretty good shape.
I agree.
And Sash has been a decent special teams player. I think special teams is what keeps Pacinger on the roster, and that's going to be a big factor down. You know, who can play on teams and be a factor. The one guy I'm really interested in seeing is Michael Cox. I watched some of the highlights from the minicamp, and that doesn't show you much, but he seems to have really good hands, which is something the Giants have not had since Tiki. They haven't had a running back who's really good at catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, Bradshaw and Jacobs were maybe a little underrated in that area, but they didn't have great hands, and you couldn't count on them to be a 60-catch-a-year guy. Cox seems to have really good hands, and I would think that he might be the favorite to get that fourth running back spot if they decide to keep four running backs, which I'm pretty sure they will.
Michael Cox to me has all the physical ability and talent to be a running back on the NFL level. He has the size, he has the speed. You mentioned his hands. My question comes down to whether or not he can handle the pro game mentally. He's very inexperienced. He barely played in college, and the NFL
right.
is much more complex than colleges and these college systems are. So can he adjust mentally to the NFL, absorb this offensive system, and get it to the point where the Giants can use him this year? Now, maybe the Giants will try to stash him, put him on the practice squad, and I think that's a possibility. There's a good chance Michael Cox can be on the practice squad this year and not get claimed by anybody, assuming he doesn't blow up and have a big preseason. So I would not be surprised if the Giants try to hide him that way.
Yeah, and getting back to the first thing you said,
yeah.
I have a I really am interested in seeing what Cooper Taylor can do, how they utilize him, because that's another potential weapon that they really haven't had, a guy they can use to kind of lock down the opposing team's tight end. Historically, especially the last 10 years, the Giants often get killed by the opponent's tight ends. They just don't have linebackers that are capable of doing that. Jaquan Williams might be the only one who's really capable of doing that. And so I'll be interested to see somebody with the size of Cooper Taylor, whether he's a fit for covering a big receiver or a tight end on the opposing offense.
Yeah, physically with the height and the speed, he's the perfect guy to follow those tight ends up the seam to give the quarterback a much smaller window to try to get the ball over him since he's 6'4", to complete some of those passes over the middle of the field, no question.
Yeah, I'll be there for autograph day on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it, and I think the Giants have as good a chance as any team to win the NFC East. I don't see any of the other teams being particularly strong, and Washington is still an X factor. But Robert Griffin's knee is, that's a question mark. So.
Sounds good, Roy. Say hello. I'll be out
Thanks,
there on
John.
Sunday. Have a good one, man.
Okay.
201-939-4513. You can go through some of your comments and questions on Twitter at #GiantsChat as well. Let's go through some of those right now. This one coming in from, let's see, my man out in Europe, Svenung Lefaldi, likes Jason Pierre-Paul, Demontre Moore, Tuck Kiwanuka, and Ajomo as the fifth defensive end. And I think that's where it's going to be interesting with Tracy, Tratau, and Ajomo. And I think a lot of that's going to do with whether or not Ajomo, and I'll go through these guys one by one in a second, can handle things like special teams and stopping the run. That's what's going to get him on the roster. At defensive tackle, he likes Joseph, Jenkins, Hankins, and Kuhn. Those four, that puts the Giants at 9 defensive linemen. And the more I look at it, they might get to 10. I actually have to come up with my 53. And we'll play a little game then, I guess, on Friday morning where everyone comes up with their, or at least I'll give you my 53-man roster, and I'll get your comments and questions on it. El Andeluk at Giantel 83. What have you seen from Marvin Austin this offseason? Has he been a regular participant? I still believe he can become a star. Look, he was out there, Marvin Austin, and that's really a good start for him considering his injury history. So I think that was a very good sign that he was out there on the practice field. He was healthy. That can only help him. He needs as many reps as he can get to get better. And hopefully he will get better and be able to give the Giants something during this preseason. Very, very important. Now I want to go through these guys here, and I'll tell you what the Giants are looking for from each one of these guys at their positions. I had a chance to talk to Robert Nunn. Had a chance to talk to some of the players on the defensive line. And these different young guys have different things they need to work on. At defensive tackle, look, Jenkins is a veteran. He's quick. He uses athleticism. He's not a huge, you know, stuffer type of guy. Linval Joseph, contract year, young player, still getting better. Huge Linval Joseph fan. You don't have to worry about him. John Hankins, young run stuffer, second-round pick. He's not going anywhere. Now, you have Sean Rogers, who has to stay healthy, show he can play a number of plays in a game, maintain his stamina. Mike Patterson needs to show he can be that disruptive guy he was in Philly. Not the biggest guy in the world. He's kind of stout, very Marvin Austin-esque in how his body looks, but he needs to be able to penetrate, beat people up the middle, and provide some pass rush up that middle for him to make this team. Now, Marvin Austin, like I mentioned, has to stay healthy. He has to show that he understands the playbook and he can be consistent and he can stay out on the football field with his conditioning. And he's got to show he can make plays. Marvin Austin hasn't made plays, even in the preseason. We haven't seen plays out of him. The Giants picked him because he was a great athlete. And in North Carolina, even with all those issues he had where he didn't play a whole lot, he showed he had the physical, raw ability to make things happen. He's got to make plays, and especially in the preseason games. That's where Marvin Austin's got to shine here. And he's also got to contribute on special teams, as Roy mentioned. And that's why Sean Rogers, I think, might be in trouble. He's not going to be a special teams guy. And that might hold him out. Then you have Marcus Kuhn, who's coming off that knee injury. He's got to prove he's healthy and prove he's more than just a filler, a guy that you know is going to do his job and be dependable. Can he be a difference maker? Can he get to the quarterback? Can he make plays in the backfield for tackles for loss? That's what he's got to show. At defensive end, Jason Pierre-Paul coming off the back. Justin Tuck, you've seen all the stories. I've been talking about it all offseason, who's really dedicated himself to being in the best shape of his life. I don't think I've seen anybody in the facility more than Justin Tuck this offseason, to be honest with you. Kiwanuka moving back to defensive end. The Giants hope they can get double-digit sacks out of him. Demontre Moore, third-round pick. He has to focus on getting into NFL shape, adding muscle so he can be an every-down defensive end. Right now, does not have an NFL body. Then you have the three guys at the bottom. Adrian Tracy, converted linebacker, pass rusher. He's got to prove he can be a three-down defensive lineman. Stop the run on first and second down. Be more than just a situational pass rusher. The good thing about Adrian Tracy, and which plays to his advantage, is that he's a very good special teams player, and they know it, and that's valuable to them. Then you have Justin Tratau, who showed he's NFL-ready in terms of understanding the system and being an all-around player. He's solid. The Giants know what they're going to get out of Justin Tratau, which is valuable for a guy at the bottom of the depth chart. Then you have Adewale Ojomo, who showed he can rush the passer, but you have to do more than that if you want to play in this league, especially for the Giants. You have to stop the run. You have to contribute on special teams, and those are two things he has not proven he can do, and he's got to do that if he wants to make this team. So I think you're looking at 9 or 10 defensive linemen. I think it's one of the deeper position groups on the team, and I think you go from there. And we'll talk about the rest of the defensive linemen, the rest of the defensive positions, linebackers, and DBs the rest of the week. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve O., good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem, bud.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say this. You know, first of all, I realize Marvin Austin hasn't really shown us much of anything, you know, especially with the injuries, but I think he's kind of taken a little worse of a rap than he probably deserves at this point. I think I really want to see what he can do, you know. I just want to see what he can do. You know, I saw two things I want to ask you about this morning. Number one is, how is Marcus Kuhn coming along?
You know, Marcus Kuhn is recovering very quickly from the knee injury. I saw him a couple weeks ago doing sprints out on the practice field. He believes he'll be ready to practice day one of training camp. Now, the doctors will obviously see him when he arrives on Friday. They'll look at his knee, and they'll decide whether or not he's cleared to practice. But I believe he will be ready to play in preseason games, maybe not the first one. They'll kind of see how he progresses and see how his knee feels. But I believe Marcus Kuhn will be in practice pretty early in camp. I do not believe he's going to be a PUP candidate. Maybe he'll miss a first week of practice or something like that just to be careful with him. But I think Kuhn's pretty far along. I think he can be a factor this year.
Oh, good. Good to hear. I'm really excited to see what he can do. I think he's a monster. All right, last thing I'm going to ask you about is Justin Tuck. You know, it's a contract year. I hear he's in great shape. What do you expect to see out of Justin this year?
You know, it's funny. I talked to Justin, and you can see the interview on Giants.com, and I asked him flat out, you know, are you motivated more because this is a contract year? And he went into, you know, your typical player spiel. And, you know, he sounded real genuine about it, too. So I don't want to just dismiss it because I kind of believe him, to be honest with you, that I don't care about it being a contract year. I want to play better because I have pride. And I know the type of player that I can be. And he knows that, and he admitted as much, that he hasn't been that player the last couple of years. And he wants to play like Justin Tuck's capable of playing. So here's the problem. His shoulder's messed up. He'll never admit it. But his shoulder's messed up. I think it's one of those injuries that's just never going to get better. He's had it for three seasons now, and it's tender. And when he gets hit the wrong way, he injures it. And when you're a defensive lineman and you lose strength in one of your arms because you got a messed up shoulder, you just can't physically be the same player that you have been in the past. So I think his effectiveness is going to really depend on whether or not he can stay healthy. And as you well know, Steve, a lot of that is luck.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm glad you're asking a question like that, because that's kind of what I want to know is, you know, is he playing for pride? I know everybody's playing for a paycheck, but, you know, the biggest thing is I'm really curious to see where the leadership is going to come from on the defense. Who's going to really step up and be a vocal leader as well as somebody who makes plays on, you know, on the field? I know it's too early, so I'm hoping to see once camp starts, I'm really hoping to see somebody. You know, nothing against Herzlick, but I mean, I want to see somebody other than Herzlick speak up and really take on that leadership role. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, as always, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it, and I'll be talking to you guys soon. Have a great one.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Miami. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, John. What's on your mind?
I called yesterday, if you didn't notice. The only question I had today is, how do you think Jason Pierre-Paul will be this year? Do you think he's going to make it within the first couple of weeks?
Well, you know what? The Giants honestly believe, and based on other guys that have had this injury, believe, and I think, that he'll be ready for the first regular season game. And I think there's an outside chance that he could play and get a couple snaps in that final preseason game just to get his feet wet. Now, it's going to be tight. He's right on his timetable. He hasn't been here for a few weeks. In an official capacity, still rehabbing and everything. So I don't really have an update on his injury situation, to be honest with you. I'll know more on Friday and Saturday. But from what I understand, he's pretty on schedule, and the Giants hope he'll be back for week one. If I had to give you a percentage, I'd say right now 70-30 he plays in week one. Now, the question remains, if he plays, how good is he going to be? Because it takes some time to regain some of your strength and power when you have back surgery. So it might take him a few weeks of the regular season to get into Jason Pierre-Paul shape.
Okay, yeah, that was my only question. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it, John. Thanks a lot for calling. I'm glad you called in and talked to Lance yesterday. You got to get Metal back in here for some of these preseason training camp shows, too. He's psyched. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. Let's say hello to Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Good, Johnny. Welcome back. One thing, you got to watch that Dottino. By Friday, he was calling it the a Welcome to the Dottino Show featuring my new co-host, Shakes. he's ready to kick you to the curb. You're only gone a couple days.
Paulie Dottino knows who runs this shop, and it's not Paul Dottino. Hello?
But if I might throw my defensive line comment out and see what you thought is, I think the guy to look for, and those last two questions kind of led up to mine, I think two people to look for is Kiwi and DeMontre Moore. I think those are the guys that need to step up, regardless of their position. I think Kiwi's got those fresh legs. I think he's ready to go. And I think those two guys are going to carry. I'm worried about JPP and Tuck, and I just want to see what you thought.
I agree with you on Mathias Kiwanuka. The Giants are going to need him to be a very effective defensive end. And I think as an every-down pass rusher, and he's finally in that one position for the entire offseason, I think he'll do a fine job there. I don't think he's going to get, 14 sacks, but I think he'll be around 10, somewhere in that range as an every-down pass rusher, and I think that's good enough. I wouldn't, though, honestly, Dave, expect a ton out of DeMontre Moore this year. He probably won't be on the field a whole lot only because, again, his body is just not really NFL ready at this point. Maybe a situational pass rusher. He'll make a couple plays here and there. But I think there's a better chance for a guy like Adrian Tracy to be a factor than there is for a guy like DeMontre Moore.
I got you. All right, man. Thanks a lot. I'll see you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. Good job on the phones today, everybody. We appreciate you calling in. Good job on Twitter as well. Let me give one more quick look here at hashtag Giants Chat. If anybody else wrote in, no, looks like not the case. Let's see if anybody there. Johnny Hedden writes in, likes JPP, Moore, Tuck, Kiwi, Joseph, Jenkins, Hankins, Kuhn, and Tracy. That's 10. I think that's a good 10. If they go 10, Johnny, I think that's the 10 they're going to go with. So I agree with you. Good call on that. Good list. Chilean Iverson. Let's see. Now he just retweeted. I appreciate it. Kunal Shah, 10 not out of the question. Tuck, Kiwi, JPP, Moore, and Tracy, a defensive end. Buy that. Defensive tackle, Hankins, Linville, Patterson, Jenkins, and Austin. He's missing somebody on that list. Well, he has no Sean Rogers. Let's see. He has Patterson in there. Jenkins, that's not bad either. Good list, guys. You guys did a good job on these depth charts. I agree with you. I think you guys are pretty much on the money there. Excellent work. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. We'll be back at the 10 a.m. tomorrow morning talking linebackers. Get ready. No one knows what's going on with that position, so we can have some fun with that. Thanks for joining us tomorrow, 10 a.m. John Schmelk. See you then.